Hey, men and wood, I'm an alcoholic. Hi, family. I very seldom talk about our prayers. You know, we had an article in our grapevine, and it said that some people are turned away from Alcoholics Anonymous because they hear people talking about God. They hear people talking about prayer. Well, I can understand how a person would feel a little reticent to listen to a prayer being said or done in a place for us. The people who are rejects, people who by our own admission must say that our lives have become unmanageable. And I was sort of that way when I first heard these people, but then I stood beside these people, and the way that they said the Lord's Prayer, they didn't repeat the Lord's Prayer, nor did they say the Lord's Prayer. They prayed the Lord's Prayer. And whether they referred to it as the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer, it made no difference. I learned the Lord's Prayer at my mother's knee when I was a child. And I remember snuggling up close to her in the wintertime to keep warm as we knelt by the bed. And I said the Lord's Prayer and she prayed the Lord's Prayer. And there's a big difference. In Alcoholics Anonymous, we pronounce every word slowly and clearly, just as if God had never heard it before, because for us it has special meaning. Every word, every syllable, every part of it. But we have other prayers in Alcoholics Anonymous that we use, and these are what we call the third step prayer. It's on page 63 of the big book. And it says, God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them that may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. And what is God's will for one person isn't necessarily God's will for another. We can't all like beats. We can't all be mechanics. We can't all be any certain thing. Every one of us are important, just like the parts of your body. The fingers are important, the hands, the feet, the stomach, the mind. But the mind wouldn't be any good if it had to just sit there without feet to carry it around or hands to feed it. So each of us sometimes underestimate the importance of ourselves in AA. And we look at other people and say sometimes when we're new, I wish I could be like them. But you don't want to be like anybody else. God made you like you are because that's the way he wanted you to be. If God had wanted you to be like somebody else, he'd have made you like somebody else. And you would have talked like somebody else. And you would have thought like somebody else. You don't want to do that. Be yourself and love yourself enough to improve yourself and make of yourself a better person. And another prayer is the seventh step prayer. My Creator, that's on page 76 in the big book. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. page 76 of the big book. And then the third prayer that's in the big book is on page 164, the very last thing in the big book. The big book consists of 164 pages. The rest is the amusement section. That's right, the stories that are in there, and the next issue that comes out, the fourth edition, may have your story in it. And we've got to remember this, but the program is in the first 164 pages. And it ends with saying, abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. The fellowship of the Spirit. This program is a spiritual program. I've heard people say the spiritual facet of this program. No such thing. This program is spiritual, 100% in its entirety. And sooner or later we realize this. I was a slow learner, stupid, and it was not necessarily because I wanted to be obstinate. It was simply because I couldn't grasp the full meaning of the sincerity with which you people presented yourself to me and to others. And sometimes you see a fellow standing off in a corner and he's wishing that he could be like you if you've been in AA long enough. I remember when I came into AA, I didn't have a place to sleep. And I was lousy, and I had just about everything but rigor mortis. And there was a guy let me come up to his room and boil up. Now, you don't find many people to know what it means to boil up now, but that means when you get lousy, you put all your clothes in a big pot and boil them till it kills all the lice. And that's what he let me, a stranger, a guy I never knew, I never saw him before. He let me do this. And people talk with me, not at me, and there's a big difference. They weren't praying. They weren't having me kneel and touching me on top of my head and telling me to give myself to God or any sort of an entity. They simply were talking to me and telling me that they understood me, and that when they talked to me, we were communicating, and I knew it. And if you miss this, all you got to do is reach your hand out. Don't stand in the corner wishing you could be with other people. Get with them. Anybody in this room would be glad to meet another friend. And you can be just that. And you don't have to go around saying amen, hallelujah, and kneeling and genuflecting and all that jazz. You do it in your own way. Your way is right. You may have been so wrong for so long, but you're so right tonight. And you've got to remember that. You've got to love yourself in the being yourself. Now, we get to the Our Father or the Lord's Prayer. When I looked at the Lord's Prayer, I remembered learning it by rote. And it didn't mean anything. And I knew that I was a slow learner, and I knew that I couldn't understand this prayer in its entirety. It was too big for me. And if it's too big for you and you can't understand it, and you can remember two words, just two words, you've got a foundation begun for your spiritual house, not made in heaven. Not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So I had to to put this prayer into 10 parts. Oh, Paul, that's how you get a front seat. Just come in late and bring your chair. That's good. I like that. The first word of the Lord's Prayer is our. The first word of the 12 steps is we. That's us, you and me. And the our in our Father is us, you and me. And it's our Father that we're addressing, our Heavenly Father, the God of our understanding. And we don't give him a name in Alcoholics Anonymous, him or her, as the case may be. In my case, I think of God as being intelligence. Intelligence is the only thing I can conceive of that can be everywhere at the same time. And they say God is everywhere. And where there are two or more of us gathered together, God also is there. And I believe that. I believe that as much as I believe I'm standing here tonight. So, knowing that I couldn't incorporate this whole prayer at once, I put 10 chapters to it, I split it into 10 different parts, talking about schizophrenia, you know, having two personalities. I was like a broom. I had all the personality you think. I didn't even know myself. How could I know my Heavenly Father if I didn't know myself? And I had to learn to trust that power, that intelligence. And so now we know who we're addressing when we pray. You know, I missed the serenity prayer. We just got through saying that. God grant me the serenity, etc. Then, after we learn to whom we're praying, we say the second part, which art in heaven. Now, this was difficult for me. If God is in heaven and we're here on earth, how can a silent meditation be heard by him? Or how can me, talking Arkansas, be understood by this Irishman over here? How could I be understood in Greece or wherever God might be? I don't know what he was listening to. And how could he listen to everybody that's praying all at once? All these things baffled me. But I know to whom I'm addressing my prayer, because I said our Father. And then I said, which art in heaven, that's where he is. But I couldn't say heaven is a long ways away, as far as I'm concerned. But you know, when those people went up in that thing and they landed on the moon and they took pictures of the Earth was sitting out there all by itself. No supports, no foundation, just sitting out there by itself, a part of the heavens. So, the Earth is a part of the heavens too. And if God is in heaven, he is in this part of the heaven too. And I could understand that. And my mind was working on this and trying to figure out what all this meant. And then the next part is, hallowed be thy name. Now, a lot of these words I had to look up in the dictionary. When I was little, I didn't have any father, and my mother sort of spread me around amongst the relatives. And my relatives lived out in the country. Now, I mean that at the end of the road, you kept on going. And when anybody got to where my uncles lived, they was either coming to see us or they was lost. We went to church on Sunday, and what would happen, we'd get up way early in the morning, full daylight, and hitch up the mules and throw some hay in the wagon and put some gunny sacks on some boards to put across the wagon so the old folks could sit up, you know, them old folks, 20, 25, 30 years old. And let them sit up there on those toe sacks with some corn shucks in them for cushions. And us kids, the 10, 11, 12 years old, would run alongside the wagon playing games all the way to church. And when we get to church, we'd take the harness off of the mules and put them over in the shade or a tree and let them eat that hay and stuff that we brought them. And they would chomp on that and stomp their feet and wag their tails and to swat off the flies and make other noises that are commensurate to mules and you know, like snorting, trying to get your mind back, and all the ladies would go into the church with the babies, the daddy-type babies, squalling and taking milk from the original container and changing diaries, and the preacher had to holler to be heard. And I thought it was Hollered Be Thy Name. I found out that it wasn't that. But I met a woman up in Washington, D.C. that thought it was Harold. She thought it was Harold. His name was Harold. Anyway. Hallowed means holy. Holy. Hallowed means holy. And we keep God's name holy within us. And we use it in a manner that is respectful. And I remember even when I was on the bum, when I was doing time in jail and that sort of thing, when I heard a man use God's name in vain, it always just sort of separated he and I. There seemed to be a wall falling between us. But when I heard a man use God's name in a respectful manner, it always brought us near. And it literally made us brothers. If God is my father and is your father too, that makes you and I brothers. And if God is my father and your father, that establishes a relationship between you and me and God Almighty. And I don't want that to be broken. I don't want to see us go off in different directions insofar as intelligently looking at ourselves and asking ourselves, who is my God? And what does my God mean to me? And is he a vengeful God, or is he a loving God? I thought God was a vengeful and he was out to get me. And I thought that he deserved, that I deserved his wrath, because I had broken every law, all the Ten Commandments. I broke every one but one, that one about thou shalt not crave no images. I never did carve no images. But I would have if I could have made a profit on it, if I'd known how. But I never did know how to do that. But God is all-powerful, and he does miracles, and this room is full of miracles. Every one of you people in this room is a miracle, because by your own admission, you couldn't do it. And in the first three steps, you said, I can't, he can. In the third step, you said, I'll let him. And we did. We let him, and he did. We're sober tonight. There's not a person in this room whose mind is so jumbled up from alcohol that they can't understand the simple way I'm presenting this. Because I'm a simple man. It's the only way I know how. And the fourth part of the Lord's Prayer is, Thy Kingdom Come. That's like, if you're patient and wait long enough, God's kingdom is going to come. And I couldn't figure out what that was going to be like when he got here. And I kept waiting. And then I read another part of the Lord's Prayer. It says, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there I got mixed up again. Well, if it ain't like it is in heaven now, and the earth is a part of the heavens, and God is in heaven and He's here, and man, I tell you, you can get yourself so confused you don't know which ends up. Don't let that happen. It's so simple. Thy kingdom come. That's the fourth part of the Lord's Prayer. Now, we're going to get back to that. That's like the fourth step. You know where you take an inventory before you know what you've got? You know what I mean? If you were selling a store and you took an inventory, you'd take inventory of all the rice and beans and peas and corn, all the stuff you had, but you wouldn't tell the buyer about the termites in the basement and in the attic and that the roof leaked and it needed painting and you wouldn't tell them all about these things, but you'd tell them all about the nice thing. Well, in the fourth and fifth step, that's just exactly what we do. In the fourth step, we take a moral inventory, a searching and fearless moral. That means good. Moral means good. And we tell God all about the nice things that we did, and that's a hard thing to do. And that's why it says searching and fearless. We have to search pretty hard, a guy like me did, to find out the good that was within me. But it's there. You've got good in you. You've got good that you may have to look a long time to find. But there's people that love you. If you hadn't been loved, you wouldn't be alive, because a baby is the most helpless thing that God ever created. You can't feed yourself or cleanse yourself. And this isn't for just a few weeks, like puppies and kittens and opossums and all this sort of thing that God created. You have to be fed and cared for and cleansed and kept out of danger. You heard just recently about kids drowning in pools. 4 and 5, 6-year-old children that are helpless, that fall in the water and drown, get bit by snakes. Well, something had to look out for you. Your mother, your aunt, somebody had to look out for you, a bigger brother or sister. So somebody loved you. And don't go around telling some people that you're unloved. Somebody loved you enough to protect you from harm when you were unable to protect yourself. So, we'll get back to that first step. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've already determined that the earth is a part of the heaven. So we don't have to wait for that. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, if you're a hippie, bread to you is money. And you've got to go a little deeper than this. What is bread to a pregnant woman? She wants her child to be born with 10 fingers and 10 toes and 2 eyes that see everything that goes on and have a good digestive tract and all the things that it's supposed to have. If you're in jail, I know what your bread for the day is. Is to get out. And that's all you're thinking of. If you never have been in jail, you don't understand that. But if you've ever been in jail, you know what I mean. How you get out. And if you're in a nut house, you don't think there's any way, because there ain't no day when you're in the nut house. They don't put a day on the calendar when your day to get out. You got to approach. They always have a lawyer in the nut house, 2-3 of them in a lot of them. And you think, well, there's a lawyer. He can tell me how to get out. And you forget. If he knew how to get out, he'd be out. So we go around and we ask people in AA, how do you do this and how do you do that? Forgetting that they're here because they're helpless and hopeless. We forget that we get our help from the helpless. We get our hope from the hopeless. They're the only ones that understand us. They're the only place we can go. If you go to church You know, a lot of people send their children, I mean, their drunks, pigeons or whatever. They send, go to the preacher. Talk to the preacher. Well, one day the preacher, if you think that your preacher knows about drunks, you ask him. Next time you go to church, you ask your preacher, say, Reverend, when was the last time you changed yourself on a commode? You won't know what you're talking about. You don't see a man of the cloth worshiping at that throne where you worship. And you don't see no preachers with no dry heaves unless they're alcoholics. So what we've got to do is remember that your daily bread is different from your daily bread. And your fondest wish, what you want more than anything in the world, may seem so insignificant to you that you hesitate to ask your God for it. Uh-uh, not so. He knows how many hairs are on your head, so it says in the Bible. I doubt if he goes around counting hairs. But anyway, that's what it says. Well, he marks the fall of a sparrow. And I don't see many sparrows in Florida, but you go to Arkansas for a sparrow. And he, how could he be everywhere? Well, we get back to God is intelligence. God knows everything. He knows your innermost wish and your innermost desire. So don't hesitate to ask God for whatever your bread for today may be, no matter what it may be, to get a new bicycle for your little boy, or to get a new dress for your little girl who's going to graduate from school and you want her to look nice. Whatever it may be, ask God for it with sincerity. And you know what I mean by that. You've already done it in the third step. You ask God with sincerity. You said, help me. And you found help in this area, in Alcoholics Anonymous. And you didn't even know you were getting it until you looked back upon what had happened and you found that you were in a better position now than you were then. And every day you grow a little. You can't help it. You can't help growing. You see people that have been around AA for a long time, they know a whole lot because they've been here and they can't help. There's no way you can escape learning if you hang around AA. They refer to this as osmosis. That's an easier way to remember that. That's learning through the seat of your pants. And you just sit there and learn, and you can't help it. Forgive us our sins, or our debts, or our trespasses. We always say trespasses because we use the version of the Lord's Prayer that's found in St. Matthew's. There's another version in St. Luke that's almost like it. But we say, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, as is the important word in there. Forgive us as we forgive. That means you've got to forgive first. That means that those people who have done you harm must be forgiven by you. And when you get a sponsor and he takes you to a place to make restitution, that's what you're doing. Sometimes it's awfully hard to forgive people who have hurt you. And we've all been hurt. We've all been denied. Sometimes we feel that we've gotten to the point that we no longer have the ability to love. And we recapture this ability. Mistake they make. And in that way, that keeps you serene. Because there ain't no way you can be mad at somebody for doing something that you've already forgiven them for. No way. So you see that, they say this is a selfish program. It's selfish in that we receive by giving. And it's selfish in that we forgive those who have trespassed. Trespass means a sin. And whether it's a little sin or a big sin or a little... I used to think trespassing meant riding on these railroad trains. I used to bum a lot on railroads, and I'd meet these yard bulls, and they'd throw me off of the train because I was trespassing on railroad property. And I wondered how I'm going to get these railroads to forgive me. And they didn't give a damn about me. How am I going to go to the Southern Railroad or one of these railroads? I wouldn't even know where to go. I don't need to go, because it don't mean that kind of trespass. If you're in a crowded elevator and you got a big corn on your foot, and somebody steps on that sore corn, oh, Lord, that hurts, you know, and you ain't going to say, this got you forgiven. No. That takes a while for that to take place. You allow them to say something else to them, you know, and then you say, oh, I'm sorry, that's the fourth step too, you know, taking. But anyways, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. That's, you're getting along in this program when you can do that. And if you have found that you can do this, that's even better than apologizing for something you've done, for forgiving somebody else. Lead us not into temptation. Now, that's the eighth part of the Lord. Temptation. I remember I just come in AA, been sober about a week, I guess, and had a few folding monies in my dollars, you know. I must have $4 or $5 bills in my pocket. Fold them over like this and in like this and stick them in your pocket so that end it opens up, is up at the top, so it won't work their way out. And you got it. I'm sitting in there fondling this pool of money in my pocket, standing in front of a liquor store, and it's all decorated and everything looks so beautiful. And temptation said, go on in there and get you a bottle of that smooth whiskey. And nobody know it but you and me. And then your conscience speaks up and says, yes, we'll. So that everybody will know if you go in there and get a bottle of that whiskey. Even the judge. Then temptation, don't quit. Temptation, so whoo, look at that Dixie Belle gin. Wouldn't that make you comfortable? And temptation to stand back a little bit. And old conscience looked at him and said, yeah, you'd get so comfortable you couldn't move. and then there's always this little mixed drink in there, you know, that it looks so beautiful. They put these vegetables in it, you know, and they call that a mixed drink. I remember the only mixed drink I ever had in my drinking days was I was trying to drink some rubbing alcohol. And he kept coming back. And the guy that was with me said, man, you don't drink rubbing alcohol that way. The way you do it is take a little bit and hold it in your mouth till the saliva dilutes it. And then swallow it. You got your a mixed drink. That's a rub-a-dub cocktail. And we got to learn these things. You don't just go out and be a bum. You got to work at it. You got to learn. You starve to death if somebody don't help you be a bum. You'll be sleeping in the streets in the rain. Lead us not into temptation, but anyway, this little mixed drink, you know, is sitting there in the window, and old temptation says, ooh, don't that look good? Wouldn't that taste good going down? Look at it, effervesce. Yeah. And then conscience say, yeah, but think how it tastes coming up. In long green string. Guy over there going, like that. I go like that every time I think of it. So do. The ninth part of the Lord's Prayer is, but deliver us from evil. Now, you're praying to your Heavenly Father, and you're saying to Him, deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Can you stretch your imagination to the point where you think God, who is all good, would lead you into temptation? No way. But deliver us from evil. You can buy that. Because we have done things that were evil. We've hurt those we love. I hurt my mother, my younger brother, and all six of my wives. Number seven sitting right here tonight, bless her heart. And I loved every one of them, her too. But you see, God gives more to some than He does to others because they need Him more. And man back there said, yeah. But deliver us from evil. Well, now, God has already delivered us from evil in the same way that the shepherd delivers the flock. And he carries them beside the still waters. And he causes them to lie down in green pastures. Now, I lie down in green pastures. I got a comfortable bed. I got a nice automobile. And I got a bank account. Not a whole lot of money, but enough that I'm comfortable. But do we really seek comfort, or do we seek serenity, peace of mind? And you don't have to have money and a good bed. I mean one of these expensive beds with a mattress that you sink down in and go boom, 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 like that. You don't have to have that. Yeah, the happiest I believe I ever was in a flop house where they let me have a corner room where I would be away from the next bomb. Because I wouldn't go to bed till I had enough whiskey in me where I'd just pass out. You see, a drunk like me don't go to sleep and wake up and pass out and come to. And I was always really leery of these beady-eyed guys. One night I had just enough whiskey in me that I'm floating around, you know, feeling good, you know that feeling. And I had just enough food that I wasn't hungry. I had peace of mind, and 35 cents that would buy me a drink in the morning. And I had that 35 cents in a tobacco sack. And I had it in my watch pocket. And I looked over in the next cot, and there was a beady-eyed guy. And I lay there thinking, now if I go to sleep, he's going to rule me. And I thought and thought and finally figured out how I could get around this. See, I said to him, I took that tobacco sack and shook it and said, man, I got enough for us to have a drink in the morning. Would you hold this 35 cents for me till tomorrow morning and you both have a drink because I'm a sound sleeper and I know somebody rolled me. He said, certainly. Took the tobacco sack and I watched him till he went to sleep and rolled him. I mean, that's using the tools at hand. You got to do that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the tenth part of the Lord's Prayer is, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Now, back in the fourth step, I said, thy kingdom come, and if we'd be patient, it would come. It's already here. It's been here all the time. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Now let's talk about that. We know now we're in God's kingdom. We know that it's up to us to do His will, because He gave us intelligence. And the thing that makes us God's children, the thing that makes us created in His image, is the fact that we have intelligence. And the fact that that we can make a choice. And we can do right or we can do wrong. We can leave this club room tonight and go out and do something we shouldn't do, or we can go out and before we leave this place, we can do somebody some good. Just a smile sometimes is all a person needs, or a handshake, or a little pat on the back, and telling them that they're doing a good job. When a good job, maybe all they're doing is not drinking, and it's the only place in the world where you can do right by not doing anything. It's the only place in the world where you get kicked out for acting up and told, come back. Only club in the world, or only fellowship in the world where you get kicked out and told to come back at the same time. It's miraculous. So that's the tenth step, brings you back to the fourth step, to let you know that God's kingdom is already here and you're in it and you're a part of it. For thine is the kingdom, the power. Power. You remember when you said you were powerless? You didn't have any power? We admitted we were powerless. That means you don't have any power at all. And you have to ask for guidance. You have to ask for power. But now, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. You've got power now because you've turned your will and your life over to the care of God as you understand Him. And glory. How about glory? You received some glory. Didn't somebody shake hands with you tonight? Didn't somebody tell you you look good? I tell you, when people, everybody tells you you look good, watch out, you look like hell. You better go see a doctor. But anyway, we give one another glory. We pat one another on the back. And like, I remember when I first came in AA, I'm sitting on a chair trying to hold it. I wasn't well enough to shake. I was trembling. I just well enough to tremble, and I hadn't had a drink for over 24 hours. I'm sitting on this chair, and this great big guy come and looked at me, and he said, "Boy, you're doing a good job." I said, "You crazy as hell, man. I'm dying. I'm going to die now. I ain't going to die later on. I'm going to die now." "No," he said, "if you're going to die, you died yesterday." And he backed off and sized me up, looked me up and down. And he says, "I want you to know I love you." I said, "I'm married." See, I didn't understand this universal love that we have. That one stranger can come in and meet another stranger and have that person in his heart and hope for everything to happen good to him. I hope that he or she will find a measure of success. And the same kind of love and understanding and ability to communicate that you found when you got here. It's phenomenal. We know that Bill Wilson must have been inspired when he wrote these steps. He must have been inspired when he wrote this book, this 164 pages. We know that it applies to you and you and you and you and me. And we know that we are brothers under the skin. We know that we are family. And we know that we're the only people in the world that understand us. So, we get to the 11th part of the Lord's Prayer. And we get to that part where you have people ask you, "How long are you going to have to attend those damn meetings?" It tells you right here. Forever and ever. And then it says, "Amen." That's the 12th part of the Lord's Prayer. And amen, you know, I thought amen meant the end. No. Amen means so be it. That's the meaning of amen. And so may it be that you and I will continue to meet in this environment and be sober and receive all the good and all the love that God has already given you and all that we can give one another and all that we can receive from this beautiful clubhouse that we're meeting in. God bless you.